Quiet it is. Ooh. Ooh. I always like the intro music for the kids' programs, the superhero, and I mean, that's just awesome. I love it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to continue tonight, share with you some scriptures, some good things. I'm also going to talk again, like I did last week, about Psalms 91. And as you're turning there, out of the Amplified Classic, I have to say that. Now we got all these different, you know, versions. We got the Amplified and the Amplified Classic. It used to be just like, hey, the Amplified. Now it's like, oh, is that a classic? Or I don't know. It's just whatever the Amplified was before. I guess now it's called the Amplified Classic. So anyway. And then we did talk about John chapter 10, verse 9 through 11. And it is, Jesus said, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved, will live. This is the Amplified Classic as well. He will come in and he will go out freely and he will find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. Now I want to stop here for a moment. And everything that we experience in life is often, that's negative, is pressure. The devil is the master of bringing pressure in your life. We weren't designed to handle pressure, were we? I mean, we weren't designed to handle problems and stress. And the Garden of Eden was a setup where, you know, we were, Adam and Eve were to tend to the garden. It was just to oversee things, and it was all supposed to be good. Every time you see the first part of Genesis, all the way first chapter or two, it says, what was he making? Everything was, and God made it, and it says, and it was good. And it was good. And it was good. What does that mean? Free of pressure. Free of stress. Free of complications. See, because in our lives, the devil, and the reason why the devil brings a problem is, why is it? It's just a complication, right? Yeah. When your car breaks down, what is it? It's just another thing for you to deal with. You know? Now you got to get the money. Now you got to go find somebody to work your car, you know, unless you can work on it yourself. It's all pressure, isn't it? It's the devil is all about complicating your life. And part of living the faith-filled life is simplifying life, isn't it? Yeah. We go to him. Well, I got to do this, and I got to figure this out, and I got to figure this out, and I got to figure this out. And what does the word talk about in Psalms 23 and 91? Resting in him, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I've got to do this. Why do you have to do it? I mean, I understand, you know, at Rhema, Pastor Hagin always talked about the natural and the supernatural coming together and being a powerful force. I mean, we understand that, okay, if you're looking, if you want a job, you got to go look for a job, right? Hello? You know? Well, I want to get good grades. Well, you got to study. I mean, they're just, you got to take the time. You got to work hard. There's a lot of natural things, but God can bless our natural things and anoint us in things that we do. But it's when we extend ourselves, that's where the pressure, that's where the stress comes in, right? Again, doing things we're not called to do, doing things we're not supposed to do. And then it complicates life. Psalms 91. And again, in the Garden of Eden, third chapter of Genesis, what was it? The snake came along to what? Complicate life. Everything was just perfect for Adam and Eve until the snake came to what? Complicate things, right? What did he say? Are you sure about that? Well, God said this. Eve really didn't even get it right. She just kind of, you know, sort of said it right. Didn't even really. And then what did he say? Are you sure about that? That's one of the most manipulative tools that the devil's going to use. And you're going to see the news on TV. Everything is about challenging your beliefs, trying to control your thought system. That's all the devil has control over, is try to control your thoughts. Stay there in Psalms 91. I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 12. I'm in Corinthians. That's not going to help me, is it? I suppose if I had the right book. Romans chapter 11. Or 12, excuse me, 12. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is very powerful because the devil is always trying to attack your thinking. Always trying to attack your thinking. Have you ever gone to do something before and you have it all hyped up in your head the night before or something and you can't sleep and you're stressed about something and then you get there and it's not half as bad as what you thought it was going to be? Right? Was the situation stressful? No, you just got yourself worked up into a frenzy before you even got there, right? Because the devil is playing with your mind. Oh, you've just been stressed out. You can't sleep. What am I going to do? And then you get there, and then it's like, wasn't even anything I even thought about. What is that? The devil is trying to complicate your life, add more pressure, add more stress that doesn't even need to be there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm reading King James, it says, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, here we go, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, it's your reasonable service to keep your flesh under control. Number 2, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. How are we going to not be transformed to the world? Here we go. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and what the perfect will of God. You won't find the perfect will of God until your mind's renewed. Well, I just wish I knew what God's will was. Well, if your mind's not renewed, and all you're thinking about is all the garbage and lies on TV. And, you know, I don't have anything against football or sports, but I mean, if everything coming out of your mouth is talking about sports and this and that and this and that, and it's like, well, what are you meditating on? You know, what are we thinking about? And I remember one time one of my instructors at Rhema, he was talking, and he was pastoring a church, and he said, this lady in my church, she was dying of cancer. And I go to visit her, and I'd say, and she had her Bible out, and all she was doing was meditating on end times. She had all her end times, you know, charts out, and she'd had all this. He's like, why are we studying this? We need to be focused on healing. Meditate on healing scriptures. Well, again, she passed away, but she didn't care about healing scriptures. She was so focused on end times and who the you know, Antichrist was, and, you know, whether it was, you know, pre-mid or post-tribulation, and I mean, all that stuff is interesting, and there's a place for it, but what she wasn't renewing her mind in what she needed. And then people say, well, you know, God took her. No. I know this instructor of mine, Raymond, he taught healing all the time, and I had him for Blood Covenant, and I mean, he's an amazing teacher. And so she was not renewing her mind in what she needed. And it all comes back to, what is it? Having the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's partly renewing your mind and denying the pressure that the enemy's coming, that he's putting on you. Brother Hagin, it was really, really funny. He pastored for like 11 years and then 11, 12 years, and then he went on the road. The Lord called him to be on the road, traveling minister. And they were having a horrible time financially. And he said, I'd be to go on that. He said, I'd drive at night because in Texas, you know, the roads are cooler. So, and the tires were bald on his car. So he'd get out and he'd drive, and he goes, one tire would start chiming. What are you going to do? 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 And another tire would go, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Right? And then he says, all of a sudden, there's a big chorus of my tires are about ready to go, and I'm trying to make it. And he goes, what are you going to do? 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 Why? The devil's trying to bring pressure. I always like that, doctors. You know, you've been around doctors, like, well, you're going to experience a little pressure. You better buckle up, because it, I like the term pressure, right? You know, they come out to this big needle about this long. Okay, we're going to have a little bit of pressure here, you know. It's like, oh my! The pressure, nice little buzzword, isn't it? It's funny. But pressure, the devil's going to bring a little pressure your way. He's going to try to challenge your thoughts. And what are we going to do here? We've got to not be conformed to this world. Well, what is it, conformed to this world? It's basically the pattern, the way that everybody else reacts to situations. Right? Oh, we're all going to go down. Everything's going to be awful terrible. No. I don't have to live like that, right? How many people during COVID? I mean, how many people died and how many suicides we had? And people are just, because they weren't used to those settings. They didn't know how to cope with those things. Guess what? I got Jesus. Pressure. Why was it so awful? Because it was pressure. Businesses were shutting down. Things were happening. Why? And that's just the way the devil likes it. And the world system loves to apply pressure, right? Loves to apply pressure. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. What is it? We're placing ourselves in His care. Can I just say something? You don't have to figure everything out, right? Yeah. Now, I remember one time, Brother Hagin was talking about one time, these crazy people. Now, you get in the ditch, okay? That's what I'm saying. I'm not in the ditch on either way, right? So I'm not going to go blindfolded tonight. I'm going to be led to my car, and I'm going to drive blindfolded, and the Holy Ghost is going to lead me home. No. He gave you two eyes for a reason, right? You know, and then I keep getting more eyes piled on here, so for some reason. But God gave you, He gave us common sense. You know, it's just like, for example, I mean, when Jesus showed up, and when he fed actually two groups of people, if you'll read your Bible, he did the 3,000 and the 5,000. Again, if you read your Bible, each time he fed people, it wasn't like, well, you all need to be spiritual. Right? You just need to fast. No, he was concerned about their natural need, wasn't he? So God is concerned about it, and there is a time for fast. Jesus fasted 40 days, and the Holy Spirit led him. Again, the Holy Spirit led him to do that. But then also, too, when he got done preaching, he was concerned about this people's physical needs. So again, we're not on a ditch and everything's just like, we're uber weird spiritual, that we're just, you know, all glossy-eyed and bumping into walls, and we're all just going to be led by the Spirit. You know, we are led by the Spirit, but then we also have a natural body that we obviously need to take care of. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to figure everything out in life and take the pressure. See, this is the thing. Where we're led by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to take that pressure on. Right? We don't have to take on the pressure. That's where being led, you know, the devil always wants to, when he brings pressure, he tries to force you to make decisions that aren't needed. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. When the devil comes along and presents pressure, he's trying to force you to make a decision that often you don't have to make. Mm-hmm. That's golden right there. Because the devil will come along, like, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to choose A or B? You know what? None of them. And it's none of your business what I do, devil, moving forward. See, getting in the world system and not being transferred to the world's system is this. The world always tries to tell you what to do, right? Yeah. That's just, you know, for example, you know, the COVID jab. I didn't want to take it, but I'm not going to go around pressuring other people to take it. And then we got people saying, well, you have to do this. You know what? I don't have to do anything in this life. I don't have to do anything. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I'm going to obey the laws and I want to live with integrity. But the devil and his world system and his cohorts don't dictate to me what I'm going to do in this life. You know, well, you've got to do this. No, I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. I don't live according to your standards. So again, it all comes back to you, and that's where we get into manipulation as people try to pressure you to do things. I always say this, you know, you've got to make your own decisions on your own body, your own health, your own. These are your decisions. Cults tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. Right? The last time I like Jim Jones, you're going to drink this Kool-Aid, right? I'm sorry, but these are your choices. And this is something where I'm telling you right now, we need to develop ourselves to be able to be led by the Spirit, to be able to have the Holy Ghost speak to us directly. Because if I'm telling you, now I'm presenting the Word and truths in the Word, because Jesus is King. I'm not King. Jesus is King. He's the Lord. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. He's your guide. He's your advocate. He's the one that's here to help you. To grow up mature and to grow spiritually, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit, right? Now we know, well, I just know if it's God's will for me to kill this person or not. Come on. We know what the Word of God says, right? I don't need to have a revelation whether it's right or wrong to murder. I know it's wrong. So there's a lot of things the devil tries to deceive people and say, well, you know, God told me to do this. God did not tell you to go murder somebody, okay? He did not tell you to go steal from somebody. We've got the Word of God to know. But whether you're supposed to take a job, whether you're supposed to marry a person, whether you're supposed to do this, whether you're supposed to do that, again, it's amazing how the world system will sit there and call Christians like we're naive and we're stupid, and the whole world system is a big giant cult that's trying to tell you how to live your life, what to do, how to raise your kids, what you're supposed to eat, right? What car you're supposed to drive, you know, on and on and on and on and on. As long as it's not sin, it's your business to do what you need to do, right? And that's where the pressure comes on. Again, the devil's going to apply pressure to you. Well, everybody else is doing this. Well, I got to do this business thing. I've got to do this school. I've got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. Nobody said you had to do anything. I've walked away from businesses and things like that too because they weren't profitable enough. And I thought, you know what? Why do I need the pressure to have to continue to do this when it's going to be unprofitable? Right? I am free from man's opinions. Amen? I am free from pressure from people. Now, it doesn't mean I don't do things, I don't do the right things, and I don't, you know, every relationship, there's expectations, right? If I, you know, never came home at night, never paid bills for us, never, you know, worked or did things to provide for Adrian and the girls, and again, provide for them to buy stuff for them, right? We're just talking about coats. I mean, I have that. It was funny because my main coat I've had since before Molly and Kate were born. So my black one. Yeah. So anyway. Hey, but that's okay, right? You know? Hey. You know? So anyway. But you know, people are jumping out of clothes left and right because they're getting bigger and growing and stuff. And it's just life. It's just life. That's okay. I had these boots for probably, I don't know, umpty years. So I don't. The pointed toe is probably not in anymore, is it? Now it's like the square stuff. And so, yeah, I need to get with it. I need to get hip. But pressure, right? Pressure for you have to do things. You have to do this. No, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, pray, and seek God's face about things. His timing. What does He want? Sit back and... Because that's where we get in the flesh. If we feel pressure, we get in the flesh, and then that's why we make mistakes, we do silly things because, right? I had other ministers try to prophesy to me. Well, you know, what you need to do with your church, you just need to go out and you just need to believe God and get a newer building and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, first of all, you're not paying the bill, right? We're the ones that's going to be paying it, so I don't care what you think, right? And second of all, if anything happens, I'm stuck with everything, personally. So we're going to do, again, the right thing, I believe we're going to have a nicer facility. Amen. But I want to be led on those things, right? And I believe we're coming into a new season. So me personally, I've got personal things in my life that I'm changing and to open up for me in the future. But you know what? When we left our old building, I didn't know COVID was around the corner. And that would have been really bad for us. Right? That God's provided everything. Well, Pastor, you're just not in faith or anything. No, it's about being led by the Spirit. Brother Hagin, I don't know why I'm getting off this. Brother Hagin in the 70s, they started having some, I remember my folks bought a house and it was like, you may as well just put it on a credit card. The interest rates were so bad back then. I mean, it was like 17, 18%, you know? I mean, it was great if you're saving money in a savings account, but it was really bad when you're trying to buy a home, right? And so, you know, things weren't that great in the 70s and the 80s. I remember when I was really, really young. But it just, you know, and I can look back at all the historical data and look at all that information, but it wasn't very good back then. And, you know, so I remember Brother Hagin, the Lord told him, he's like, you need to just, when people leave the ministry, don't hire new people on because you're going to be going through. Now, people can sit back and say, well, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. See, other people can put pressure on you to do things that may not be God's will, right? Because we can sit back and say, well, why don't you just believe God for this? Why don't you just believe God for this? You know, we are believing God, but guess what? God isn't going to bless things that's not his will. Or if he's not speaking to you about things, and if the Holy Spirit's not leading you to do things, and what's happened? You're going to crash and burn, right? And, you know, so here's Brother Hagin. He's this big faith preacher, and the Lord's telling him, don't replace people when they leave the ministry because there's going to be an economic downturn. Now we can sit back and go, well, that's not by faith. Maybe the Holy Spirit's leading him in that direction because the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen, and he's trying to protect the ministry. You need to cut back. You need to do things. Was it not faith when Joseph, they had, you know, 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine and lack? Why didn't Joseph just use his faith? Now, see, it's God's mercy showing us bad things are going to happen to prepare for it. That is using faith because God is showing things to us about things that are going to come. All I know is our old facility, they want to jack up the cost and everything too. On the inside, I felt like, man, this is a failure. We feel like we're stepping back. I had no idea what COVID was coming around the corner. And see, the Lord was showing me that Joseph moment that was right around the corner. I didn't know why. And can I just say this? When you're doing things and you're following the Lord, on the inside, sometimes it feels like it just doesn't make sense. But on the inside, you know it's right. It's just you have peace about it. Well, what's everybody else going to think if I do this or if I stop doing this, if I do this or if I change this or if I change that? Well, they're not footing the bill, are they? Right? What are they paying for it? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? Are they? I will say to the Lord, verse 2, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, on him. I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Are we confidently trusting in him? Hebrews tells us that Jesus, what did he say? He despised the shame and endured the cross. Right? For the joy that was set before him. Sometimes you're going to go through junk. I know this is not a real happy jump in like your typical faith preacher, okay, like all of them on TV, right? Send them big fat checks in. But what I am saying is this. Sometimes you're going to go through junk to get to the victory on the other side. And with Joseph, I'm sure that all the faith preachers would have probably said he was in sin. He was in rebellion. He wasn't sowing enough money. He wasn't doing this. I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes God's going to do whatever it takes to get you from point A to point B. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church today. This Catholic mass that we got going on tonight. But you hear everybody, right? I'm just saying that. You're going to hear everybody that you missed it. You're off. You're this. You're that. Well, I'm going to look through everybody that has been in the Bible, and they've gone through, because if I would weigh that to today's preachers, every person, now some of them did go through sin, but I'm saying Joseph. Now, there's a debate there where Joseph may have just kind of opened his big mouth and you know, I mean, is it really smart? You're the youngest. Well, at that time, he was the youngest, and then Benjamin came along. But is it really that smart to probably go, hey, guys, guess what? You're all my older brothers. You're all going to bow down to me? It was great. And they don't like you anyway. So it's probably throws fuel on the fire for his problems. Right? And people are like, well, it's God's will. Man. Yeah, probably was, but it didn't help when he didn't have a lot of wisdom dealing with his older brothers, right? Yeah. By the way, you're the baby of the family, and you're getting all these blessings, and you're getting this special robe, and daddy likes you more than the rest of us and everything else too. And then you say something stupid like that. It probably doesn't help your cause here, Joseph. But you know what? It all ended up okay at the end, didn't it? It took a little while. It took about, 13 years for everything, from point A to point B until he where was at. I think that's kind of what scholars talk about. Anyway. But it's about trusting him. You know what? Even though sometimes we miss the mark, we've gone shipwrecked, whatever it is, we can still get back on track. There's never a God, you know, the Trinity's not in heaven and the Holy Spirit's here. The Lord's not sitting in heaven, Father on the throne going, you know what? John screwed everything up. He did this one thing, and it's all over for him. I mean, I'm sorry. There's just, you know, I'm sorry. Amy just messed it all up. You know, Dwight just screwed everything up. No, there's always a plan A. You know what? God's always got a plan for you. They didn't mess anything up. I'm just kidding. But
I was waiting for
him. Yeah, no. You know, and then Dwight, you know, we had a, no, I'm kidding. But but there's never, there. You never, just because you make a mistake or you made a mistake in your life, it doesn't throw God off. He is full of mercy, full of love, full of compassion. And that's where, again, when we come back to when we're resting in him, the 23rd Psalms and the 91st song, it's all about trusting in him. It's about pushing off pressure, right? Obviously we're when we been in jobs before where you've got, I want to say this, not so great management, you know, that makes poor choices, and all of a sudden, you know, they put the pressure on them upon you. I'm probably the only one that's ever dealt with that before, right? You're looking back and you're thinking, that was dumb. That was a stupid mistake, right? I've been in a situation before where it's like, hey, this is a great plan. We're doing less with more.
Yeah.
The pressure, again, comes on because of other people's poor choices. Pressure comes on us for whatever reason, right? We've had, you know, you got family members, you know, whether you have children that make poor choices or whatever in life, sometimes things come upon you as a parent or, you know, a friend, or if you're at work, no matter what area in life it is, some of those things come upon you that are not your choice. They're not your choice. They're not your decision. But guess what? We can still rest in this, can't we? Right? That's where we're getting it at home a lot. And we're kind of getting to ages like, you got to make your own decisions. Got to start thinking these things through. You got to start making these decisions, right? Because me as a parent, I'm not always going to sit back and say, you have to do this. You should do this. Now, there are some things, but there comes a point where you got to start making the right decisions for yourself. You've got to start taking issue. You've got to start doing these things. Your poor planning does not institute an emergency on my end all the time, right? I I got a project that was supposed to be due 2 weeks ago, and it's due tomorrow. And how is this my problem, right? I'm going to sleep great tonight. You know, that like we always have these conversations, you know, but I'll help you. I'm going to do this. But again, why do I have to have a fire sale because of your lack of planning? I'm still going to sleep tonight. It's going to be okay. I'm here to help. But your problems are not my problems. That's why, you know, I love all of you, but I'm here for you. But at the end of the day, I'm going to bed. I'm casting your cares on him. They're your problems. I love you, right? A lot of pastors love the sheep, and they feed their family. I love my family, and I'm going to feed you. How about that? Right? Because I'm not your God. I'm not your priest. Jesus is Lord. Follow him. Be led. Speak to him. He's going to show you things to come. Amen. Hallelujah. So I get nervous around people with control problems too. It's like, man, we can. I had pastors in the past where every person, one time, I mean, I love this guy. He's a good pastor, but I remember one time we were, I was on this praise and worship team, and one of the guys that was in a praise and worship team was like, went to the pastor of this church I was in years ago, and we were doing something with this church, and he walked up, was the pastor, and always wanted to know, should I get a job? Should I go here for this job? Should I do this? Should I do this? And the guy said, "What, pastor?" This pastor I knew years ago, and he says, "Why does he keep coming to me? Why do all these people keep coming to me all the time, ask me, should I take this job?" Because I'm like, because you're telling them what to do all the time. You're not helping people, right? Let me tell you what to do all the time. This will help you, right? Hallelujah. Isn't this freeing? It is. Amen. I just feel so much better, Holly. Don't you feel better? I do. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? God is good, and his word is good. And I just remember those times with God. Again, he wants to spend time with us. It was interesting. I had this, we'll close in a minute here, but this woman that, or these people have gone to heaven and stuff, and they're talking, and they said, you know what? There's no churches in heaven. Just one church, guys. It's all of us, right? Yes. I mean, we get to heaven. I'm not going to be pastor anymore. It's just Jesus, right? I mean, that's wonderful, isn't it? He's so much better than me. It's going to be, I mean, he goes to me like, hallelujah, I'm free from him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But it's going to be good. We step on the other side. There's, you know, we're not going to have all these denominations anymore. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be so wonderful, right? No, like, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with this. But verse 4, and then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. You know, the interesting thing is, every time I see with Jesus, everything, his whole life, just it was just such an attack on, and so always pressure from religious folks, pressure, Romans, pressure. His disciples, well, what are we going to do, Jesus? I don't know what we're going to do. You do something. You feed them. Even his disciples were putting pressure on him. The devil putting pressure on him. Religious folks putting pressure on him. Romans putting pressure on him. And then when he do and manifest things, the disciples get freaked out by it, right? I mean, when he commands the storm, you know, to stop, they're like, ah, this is, they can't handle it, right? Jesus was the master of handling pressure. I mean, it got so bad he was sweating blood. Now, I've never been to that state before, okay? You know, sometimes I've been in a place where you wake up and you can't go back to sleep and you're thinking about things and you're like, but I've never sweat blood to that point. But Jesus is, was such a master at putting down pressure and relying on the Father. I want to read just a couple other scriptures here too. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears them. How many people I've heard, like, I just don't feel God hears my prayers. You know what? The Bible says He hears you and delivers them out of their troubles. Psalms 107:6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and who were what? And He delivered them out of their distresses. See, we forget about these problems and these things when pressure comes along in life. We forget about these things because all we're focused on is what the devil presents, choice A or choice B. I would love Jesus because when He's sitting there, the woman caught in adultery, and what do they say? See, the religious folks, the devil, is giving Jesus, telling Jesus what the choices are. And Jesus is like, no, let me tell you what the answer is because none of these are, I'm sorry, boys, but none of your multiple choice, none of them are wrong, right? You've got those, they would take those tests, and then at the end it says E or D. It says none of the above. Jesus is like, check that box. That's the one right there, right? Are you going to stone her of a law? Or are you going to let her go and violate Moses' law? He goes, no, neither one. All of those, you without sin, cast the first stone. And if you do some studying on these people and what they really believed, you'd be shocked. We think that these are just really godly people and everything. They weren't. These people were into some of them were really into some really heathen, paganistic garbage. And that's why Jesus conflicted with them so much, because we think that they were just these religious people in the TV shows and everything that we see. And these people were nasty, these religious folks. They were doing some evil, evil, evil things behind the scene. And Jesus knew about it. And they were trying to deceive people in Israel, and they were nasty at heart. I mean, let's just say this. Hebrews are not always a real good group of people that have been faithful to God throughout the year. You just read the Bible, okay? They've chased, a lot of them chased a lot of paganistic, whether it be in Judges, all throughout the Bible. They're, you know, the kings, all of the kings, after Solomon, when the kingdom split, Solomon went, became, you know, horribly into massive witchcraft at the end of his life, and turned from God and got involved in all this divination and all this evil stuff. And then when the kingdom split from Judah and Israel after Solomon's time, how many kings just were heathens and pagans? It's mind-boggling, right? Well, all of that filtered in until the day of Jesus. When Jesus was here, and it's still in the nation. I mean, some people do love God in Israel, but there's a lot of heathenism and a lot of paganism, and especially in Tel Aviv. So, you know, there's definitely a good group of people, and it's like any other people, but a lot of the Hebrews back then during Jesus' time, they were not the picture, Sadducees and Pharisees. Some of them were doing some really bad things behind the scenes, and Jesus knew about it. But they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Psalms 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God will deliver you. It doesn't mean you're not going to feel pressure at the time, or things may happen, but God is going to deliver you. He will. 2 Samuel 22:2, and He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and what? My deliverer. Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and what? Delivered me from all my fears. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with what? The yoke of bondage. John 8:32, and He shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Ecclesiastes, I got two more scriptures here and we'll finish up. Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10. We were just talking about this scripture. The girls and I were on church tonight. I was telling them about this scripture and just Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10, Amplified Classic. It says, the thing that has been, it is what will be again, and that which has been done in that which has been done again. And there is nothing new under the sun. Well, I'm just, you know, here's the thing. The deception is everything that's going on, I've got a new lifestyle that nobody's ever experienced, right? I've got a new religion. I got a new this. I got a new this. I'm going to just tell you what, all this garbage, this new age, all of this perverted lifestyle and everything else too, we can see it in the Bible. All the way back to Genesis. Abraham dealt with this garbage all the way back in Genesis. This is nothing new. This is at least 4,000 years old or older. There is nothing new under the sun. The devil tries to come on, new age, right? Ooh. No, Samaritans, or the Sumerians were into all of this stuff and all of the other, about 5,000 years ago. All of this stuff has been here. The Bible says nothing new under the sun. And also with that, we take this as, not only there's nothing new under the sun, but guess what? You're not the only one going through it. The biggest lie the devil's going to tell you is you're the only one dealing with it. Oh, you just screwed it all up. You're the only one dealing with this. You're the only one going through this. No. You know, we were just at a volleyball game earlier, and we were just talking about, so we were talking about the Lord and the Bible, just different things like that, and just how the impacts of sin and everything else too. And I was saying, you know, it's interesting how all this gymnasium was like full of people, full of kids. How many people here that have anxiety, anxiety around people, all of these inner turmoil that's going on, and people will sit back and think, all these other people, they're fine here, but I'm dealing with these things. No. People thousands of years ago dealt with the same thing here, and other people are doing the same things that you're dealing with. But you know what? We just read that God can set us free. And then Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, says the Lord, which was and was to come, the Almighty. God is going to deliver us. Amen. He's going to deliver us. When we need help, we can call upon the name of the Lord. And what we shall be saved, we can call upon him. He will deliver us in the day of a trouble. Father, we thank you so much for this time together, Lord Jesus. We glorify you tonight that we are set free. Whomever the Son sets free is free indeed. And tonight, Lord, we thank you that we are not going to submit to pressure. And we are not going to submit to the world system. But we're going to run to you. We're going to support everyone in the body of Christ, Lord. But tonight, I just pray, everyone tonight, that I speak over 2024 that there is breakthrough in people's lives in this church in the name of Jesus. Those who are here and those who are out tonight, there is breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I speak financial breakthrough to people in this church tonight in the name of Jesus. I speak businesses are exploding and there's favor in the name of Jesus. I thank you there's promotions in the name of Jesus. Like never before, Lord. There's favor. The God kind of favor is on people in this era tonight. I speak that, Lord, barriers are torn down in the name of Jesus. Walls are ripped down in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak doors and barriers and also stumbling blocks are removed in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord God, we pull down any strongholds in our thinking that it is removed. In the spirit realm, we speak to those things that are hindering us, that demonic forces are trying to hinder us. You are removed in the name of Jesus. We speak to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And I declare the blood of Jesus tonight over every person in this church and our families and our finances and our homes, Lord God. And those things that belong to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for witty inventions for people tonight, for businesses, wisdom, revelation, knowledge. I also pray, Ephesians, the first chapter, over this church, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may have hope of our calling, Lord God. But we thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I speak favor. Lord, I just again speak the barriers are removed. And God, tonight we speak that Holy Ghost, you are free to move on behalf of the people tonight. We also speak, Lord, by the Spirit tonight in the name of Jesus, that your ministering spirits that are here for the heirs of salvation tonight, we command you in the name of Jesus. Hear my voice, spirit realm, in the name of Jesus. Angels, go forth now, ministering spirits, right now, on behalf of the heirs of salvation. Go and do what the Spirit commands you to do. As we pray in the Spirit, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, we speak those things just like in the Old Testament. In the name of Ezekiel, those dry bones will begin to live again in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak by the Spirit tonight. Those people that have dreams, visions, things in your heart, Lord God, I speak that those things that we thought were dry bones that we have put aside, we speak tonight, dry bones, and we speak that you have life in the name of Jesus. That those things that you put in our hearts, Lord God, by the Spirit, even when we were younger, or those things that years ago or days ago that have been our heart, we speak life to you in the name of Jesus. And we say that, Lazarus, you will rise forth in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God, and you will do and accomplish what you've been set and called to do by the Spirit of God tonight in the name of Jesus. We declare it. We declare it, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that the favor of God that's upon our church will spill over into other people, our family, our friends, every day that we are, our Lord, in the name of Jesus. I also speak in the name of Jesus for this church. We speak growth in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we speak finances. Call them in the name of Jesus. We also speak a better facility in the name of Jesus. The God-ordained church building for this congregation, Lord God. We speak and we call you out in the spirit realm and to be manifest in this realm in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord, tonight. We declare we have everything that we need, the finances, Lord God, the equipment, everything we have in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I speak, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that people are fulfilling their callings tonight. Lord, I speak people, businessmen and women, in the name of Jesus, that they come forth out of this church. Lord God, finances being poured into them, that they're anointing for business and whatever it is you've called them to do, that they will be anointed to do these things, Lord God, also to minister every area of life that we are called and we are walking in our divine destiny tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And just one thing, too. If you have not been on Wednesday night prayer group, you need to get on that Wednesday night prayer group. I'm telling you right now. Wednesday night, I want to give a testimony. I'm glad that Carol gave her testimony, but one thing too, I just want to share that I was praying, and sometimes I don't have an opportunity sometimes during praise and worship because I'm playing guitar, doing praise and worship, and Adrian, those things, but Wednesday night, I was just to kind of go along with what we were talking about tonight, what I just was praying out, in the spirit realm, I was praying. And I began to see, and I was praying the Holy Ghost. I saw in the spirit realm, as we were praying in the Holy Ghost Wednesday night, barriers being knocked down for people in this church. Stumbling blocks being removed. Doors being kicked down. I saw things in the spirit realm that God was beginning to move demonic forces off of people. He was beginning to move demonic forces and that has been in your way. We've been praying that, we were praying that out Wednesday night, and then by the Spirit I spoke that out, and I just released a breakthrough. It was something just broke in the spirit realm. And that's why we need to pray some things, but I just saw stumbling blocks, like the hand of God just moved out of the way. I saw walls, and it's just like the fist of God just went bam, and destroyed it. Doors were just, I saw angels just ripping doors open, massive angels just destroying things. I saw things in the spirit realm. Guys, we are not bound by this world system. We are not bound by this world system. I refuse to submit to the world system. I refuse to submit to, inflation. I refuse to submit to these things in the world system. That's why I'm praying that, again, God is going to give us favor, insight into some things moving forward. But that night, Wednesday night, I prayed and I saw God beginning to do things for people in this church and for the body of Christ. Amen. That's why it's important to pray in the Holy Ghost, because just like we see in Corinthians, it says, though I pray I pray unto God. It's a mysteries unto God. There are things that we can pray in the spirit realm. That's why if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, you need to do that. But when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying out mysteries, and there are things that you just don't understand that God's wanting to get through you to be able to manifest things in this realm for us and to help us. Amen? Amen. Well, have a good week, everybody. Amen.